Ladies and gentlemen, welcoming to the WCSB Airwaves, the 8th President of Cleveland State University, Dr. Laura Bloomberg. And Dr. Bloomberg, welcome to the show, and I thank you on behalf of our wonderful station, WCSB, and all of our listeners around the world for being on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to speak with you today.
You know, we're really glad to have the great leadership that you're going to provide. And let's, before we get into what that's going to be, let's let the audience know a little bit about your education. You came from Minnesota. You went to St. Cloud State for your undergrad, Cornell, and the University of Minnesota, home of the Golden Gophers. Explain some of the education, how that prepared you for what you're going to deal with here at Cleveland State.
Sure, happy to do that. You know, one of the things that students often ask me is, how did you get to where you are today? And I have to honestly say, a huge part of it is serendipity, just being, you know, open to what opportunities present themselves. Early in my career, I knew exactly what I wanted to do my entire life, and that was to be a special education teacher and work with children with severe disabilities. In my life, I have taught in a classroom, in a special education classroom, just 1 year. So I was open to serendipity and different windows of opportunity and ended up doing a lot of work in communities with people with disabilities with my special ed degree from St. Cloud State. And that really led to an interest in policy and how it is that we build structures that include all people, not only people with disabilities, but how do we think about people with different perspectives and different abilities and different races and different political views? And that led me into a master's degree in educational psychology and ultimately to getting a PhD at the University of Minnesota in educational policy and administration. So my degrees were not one right after the other. I spent time in the workforce between my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. My master's degree and getting my PhD. And along the way, I had two children. My husband and I had two children, and he also went to law school at Cornell while I was getting my master's degree. So it was a busy chapter of our lives.
Well, Dr. Bloomberg, all that education behind you and the experience, what are some of the things that were the most difficult to overcome? I know education is constantly changing, and, you know, the landscape of it is always moving in different directions. How have you been able to deal with that? I mean, that's got to be tough.
For me, one of the things that was, for me personally, one of the things to not so much overcome but to navigate was all the realities of being a working mom and at times a working mom and a full-time student. That gives me a lot of empathy for our students here at Cleveland State, who are working multiple jobs or who are young parents themselves. So I became a mom at a quite young age, and you know, we did not have the resources for either my husband and I to be students alone. So we were working multiple jobs, trading off childcare because we couldn't afford childcare, and trying to advance our degrees. Those were they weren't obstacles. I adore our children and I'm so grateful for them, but they were realities in our life that we needed to navigate. In terms of the world of work, I wouldn't say that necessarily I have been impacted negatively by my gender, but I can tell you that there have been multiple times as I have had different leadership roles, either as a principal or as a higher ed administrator, where I realize that there are still a minority of women in some of these roles. And so again, that's not a barrier, but it's a reality. And it makes me think about how I want to mentor young men and women, but in particular women, to set their sights high and realize that they can achieve things, even if it doesn't look like there are people like them in those roles. That's certainly true for people of color as well.
Ray Carr here with Dr. Laura Bloomberg, the 8th president of Cleveland State University. And as you mentioned, women seem to have a more difficult time with things, but isn't hard work the residue of success? And sometimes when you work harder than the person that you are filling or that you've taken over for or other people in university, it seems like serendipity happens more frequently.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for hard work. There certainly is. And And that can overcome a lot of barriers, and it can open a lot of doors and opportunities. And then there are just systems that part of why I want to be in a leadership role is I want to be a part of changing certain systems around access or how we create opportunities. So yes, hard work, and yes, creating the conditions where that can positively impact people and create more opportunities.
And how is Cleveland State moving forward? I mean, how do you vision this great university moving forward into the century here? Because it's got so much to offer.
It absolutely does have so much to offer. Well, let me back up and just say this. I say it as often as I can. I thought I would spend the rest of my working life in Minnesota. I love the University of Minnesota. Our family is in Minnesota. And I really didn't think anything would pull me or my husband away from that state and for me, the University of Minnesota. Cleveland State did that. I am so inspired by what this institution is and what it means for the region and for the city of Cleveland. And I'm inspired by Cleveland. So the future of Cleveland State University, in my mind, is as an urban-serving institution that is not only in the city, but of the city. And by that, I mean a part of the fabric of Cleveland and the future of Cleveland. I think it's so inspiring that Cleveland State is ranked number one in the state among public institutions for social mobility, and a hugely high percentage of our alums stay in the region for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and become a part of the economic, social, and civic fabric of this area. And so I'm not just saying that. That's not just happy talk. That's work I did to study and learn about before we decided to pull up roots and relocate to Cleveland. I want to be a part of that kind of an institution. And let me just say, you know, because I think it's obvious, but I think we shouldn't shy away from it. We are not a Big Ten institution. We are not an Ivy League institution. We are a state university, and that's where my roots are. I graduated from a state university, and as I have told people often, it gave me huge opportunities. It did not slow me down. It gave me opportunities, and it gave me a vision of what's possible even when you may not come from a college-going culture, or you may not have all of the economic resources that you have or wish you had, or in my case, getting a master's degree, maybe you have multiple and competing priorities. Coming from a state institution like Cleveland State, although not as good as Cleveland State, candidly, was a great start for me, and I want it to be a great start for students here going forward.
Coming from the land of 10,000 lakes, and the state of Minnesota is absolutely beautiful, and you're coming to another beautiful state, which is Ohio, and you went to a public university, University of Minnesota in St. Cloud State, but then you went to an Ivy League school, Cornell, and Cornell, of course, it's a different vibe there. So you're able to take the experiences of two different types of universities into your work experience and be able to understand, I think, a wider range of student that comes to Cleveland State.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it impacts how I speak with students about their experience. As a matter of fact, just before jumping on this conversation with you today, I was greeting incoming students and their families at an event called CU at CSU. And I talk about this, that there are great institutions by some measures. What's more important to me is that there are great experiences. And to create a great experience, it takes the student being willing to engage and the institution creating opportunities. So I could have gone, yes, I did go to an Ivy League. I did go to Cornell. And it was an excellent experience. Candidly, partly it was an excellent experience, I believe, because I chose to make it that. I wanted to take advantage of all of the resources and opportunities that it had to offer. That is no different than how I thought about my own education at St. Cloud State University. And my message to students here is, this is going to be a great experience if we hold up our end of the bargain and you hold up yours. Mm. Or as I told the students this morning, I want you to fall into bed every night exhausted and proud of the work that you've done in the classroom, in the community, the way you've engaged and sort of savored all there is to offer or all there is to take advantage of on this campus in this fantastic city. And I think that's part of our just general sense of well-being as individuals and as a community, that we can feel that way, proud of the work we've done, and confident that the opportunities will be there for us if we take advantage of them.
Yeah. Dr. Bloomberg, I have to agree 100%. Cleveland State has made a huge difference in my life, and as well as WCSB, the station that I'm on right now. One of the great public institutions. It's just a wonderful, really is, reaches out to people, and it gives people a chance to hear alternative things that they wouldn't hear anywhere else. And I think it really, this station adds an incredible asset to the university.
Oh, I wish you could see the smile on my face right now. I love hearing that kind of a story. And it's just, it's so gratifying to talk with alums in the community who have these rich stories to tell about how this institution impacted their lives and the lives of their families. It's pretty fantastic. So thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, it really happened for me two different segments. When I got out of high school in 81, I came down here and I struggled because I didn't have the proper support staff. I came back as an adult, and the university kind of took me under its wing, helped me get through some stuff, and stuff that I already had experience in life helped me to get through the classwork and writing and such. And the university has made, without Cleveland State, I don't know where I would be. And I think that I speak volumes for other people as well. And your vision for the Cleveland State moving forward, the 2.0, how is that going to change things in this area?
Let me speak to CSU 2.0, but could I just go back for a moment, Ray, and comment on something you just said?
Yes.
About when you were ready and when you came back. I think it underscores something that I believe very strongly in. For some students, graduating high school and coming to college is a natural career or path, educational academic path for them. For others, it is not. It's not the right path. They're not ready yet. They want to do other things, or they want to start at a community college and transfer. They want to experience the work world for a while until they know what they want to do and come back. I believe a great institution, and I do think CSU is a great institution, creates multiple pathways and welcomes students when they're ready, helps them decide if they're not ready, welcomes them back if they had a start and needed to stop out. All of those things we need to be able to do so that we can serve people like you who are obviously successful in your life, but who may not have been ready at a particular time. So I just wanted to underscore that. I'm really glad you mentioned it.
And we have the program, the TRIO program, for people that also need help. And there are other groups that will help people with different things around the university. What are, Dr. Bloomberg, what are some of the things that students come up and ask you and tell you that maybe surprise you a little bit?
I am surprised. And it's not just here at Cleveland State. It's in many institutions. I am surprised at the just the grit and determination of students who want to get a degree and who might be food insecure or be fragilely housed. I have met students who have spent time living in their cars or who have spent an enormous amount of their time simply pulling together enough money to eat, and we make absolutely certain that they have full access to our food shelf, and we're working with them on those individuals on housing and stable housing. But for me, it's sometimes humbling, if not surprising. I'm always humbled by students who have these stories, because I think about the sheer horsepower it takes to be talented and smart enough pull all of those things together to be successful in your life and still have a vision for your future that includes a college degree. That is amazing to me. So I guess to say I'm surprised maybe sells our students short, but I am humbled. And I'm always honored when they tell me those stories. They trust me enough to share those stories with me. It makes me understand why I work so darn hard and why I'm so proud to be president of this institution, because I want to be a part of helping those students realize their dreams.
Dr. Bloomberg, Cleveland State is growing. exponentially, and there's many different departments at Cleveland State. Is there a particular department that you see that you really want to put a little more focus in, and you'd like to see us, raise the level in certain areas, or are all of our programs on the same path of success?
Oh my goodness, that's like asking me to pick a favorite child. You can't do that to me.
Well, maybe ambiguously.
I can tell you a couple of things about that, and then we can certainly circle back to CSU 2.0 if you wish. We have departments that will always be core to a university, I believe. Our arts and sciences, our humanities programs. Part of getting a degree in higher education is getting a degree that helps you understand how the world works, how we make decisions, how we think about things. And then around that, we need to be wrapping professional degrees like our law school, our college of business, our school of engineering. So it's hard, it really is, I'm hard pressed to say there's a particular department that I would identify as the one that's hugely growing. I can tell you that we're working hard in certain areas based on our Jobs Ohio, our work to identify high need areas for Northeast Ohio and high prospect career paths for our students. And many of those are in engineering, computer systems, information systems. But we are also looking at areas that are broadly growing nationally, like sports management. You know, the growth of esports and esports management and sports management in general is huge. And I imagine that our department that focuses on sports management will grow substantially. The other thing is, and people I understand have a range of opinions about this. In the last year, as a part of CSU 2.0, we have restructured some of our colleges. And so we have a newly formed College of Arts and Sciences. And the idea is that throughout history, a great university has pulled together the arts, humanities, math, sciences as the core of the institution. Like I say, everybody has that core. And then around that, we can weave professional and specific degrees. Perhaps the one that has generated maybe the most consternation, candidly, is the realignment that I am very excited about, and that is to form a College of Education and Public Affairs. We have had a College of Education, and we have had a College of Urban Affairs. In the country, I would argue that there is no greater policy issue than the education of our citizens, that we need to have the policies that drive our education, our K-12, our preschool, our higher ed systems. We need to get those right. And we haven't been wildly successful. So to pull together our policy and urban affairs expertise with our educators, and then also social sciences and human services, that's what will be in this new college, to me is a winning proposition. I read about this part of CSU 2.0 before I moved to Cleveland. I'm excited about it. I'm a former policy school dean myself, and I have a degree from a college of education. For years, I have been talking about the alignment between policy and education. So the opportunity to bring those two fields together here at CSU is very exciting to me. So I imagine that that college will grow and thrive not only in the region and in Cleveland, but on the national stage. That's probably more than you wanted to know.
No, that's great. You explained it very, very well. And it made me think about the Cleveland school system and other surrounding school systems where I'd like to see Cleveland State become more involved in kids before they graduate high school to prepare them and show them and educate them about opportunities that will be here at Cleveland State University so more people go here so the university grows.
We have started meeting regularly, we being myself, our provost, Provost Nigama Sridhar. And for those who don't know, the provost is the chief academic officer at a university and the senior vice president. And also our vice president for campus engagement. We are meeting quarterly now with Eric Gordon, the CEO of the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. I imagine that we will continue to meet with other CEOs or superintendents of school districts in a broader area outside of Cleveland soon, because I completely agree with you. We need to keep those lines of communication wide open. and think about how we can work together to ensure the success of our students. And I think Eric Gordon has been a wonderful partner. I didn't know until I became the president and was told probably in about early May that the president of CSU is an ex officio member of the CMSD school board.
Wow.
So I'm not going to show up to every school board meeting. Right. I've done that in an earlier chapter of my life when I myself was a school board member. But I did go to the school board celebration of valedictorians from CMSD. And it was exciting and fun. I was delighted to be there and meet the valedictorians, chat with their families, and I'm really proud that quite a number of the CMSD high school valedictorians are coming to CSU. I think that's a ringing endorsement of our work, and we're so eager to welcome them.
Yeah, it's great that because, you know, the more people that get excited about Cleveland State and, you know, they hear about it and it gets involved in the schools, and I really think it just adds an energy to the city because there's other universities and other major cities around the country that, you know, like Pittsburgh, for example. The University of Pittsburgh is a very large university. I foresee Cleveland State being a big university, and it can be a force in education globally. I mean, really a force. And I think you're there to lead that, and I think you'll do a great job with that.
Thank you. That is absolutely my goal as well.
What are some of the inspirations that, you know, when things get tough, they get tough for all of us, how do you inspire? Where do you get inspiration from?
Where do I get inspiration? Good question. Well, first let me say that when I was named president at the end of April, within 48 hours, I received personal phone calls or emails from fellow presidents of universities or colleges in the area and nationally. And they weren't just state universities. I received calls from presidents of small private colleges and private universities and community colleges. And that was inspiring to me, that there is a community of presidents that support each other. Even if we may at times be thinking about competing, in air quotes, competing for students, or trying to make our value proposition the clear one that inspires students to apply here, we are supporting each other, troubleshooting, listening to each other's concerns, and helping with thorny problems on campus. That is an inspiration to me. The other thing that really inspires me is what I was saying earlier about students who defy a lot of odds to muscle through and get to where they want to go in life. And that's maybe why I feel so strongly about reducing the unnecessary barriers to them that hold them back. Because they are doing all the hard work. I want to meet them with enough opportunity so they can see a path forward. Watching what students can achieve. We had a student speaker at our Radiance event, our big celebration of our donors this spring, who spoke about the work she did to get her degree. And she walked across the stage a few days later, and it moved me to tears, thinking about this woman who, against many, many odds, just kept at it. And now she's going to be entering a master's degree for journalism because she wants to tell stories that inspire other young women of color, to set their sights high and achieve. She is an inspiration to me.
Yeah, it's great to have the inspiration because there's a lot of students out there that are very intelligent, but for one reason or another, they get hung up on certain things within, you know, the big educational machine. And it's nice to be able to have, you know, a way to help them get through that. Because once they get that college degree, it adds a level of confidence to their life. And, you know, whether they go on to get a master's or a PhD is important, but at least they have the option to do whatever he or she wants.
Exactly. You can do a whole lot with a bachelor's degree. Let me say something else as we're on the topic of inspiration. I talked about fellow presidents, and I just want to take this opportunity to specifically talk about my fellow presidents in Cleveland or very near Cleveland. They have been remarkable partners. I was just on a call this morning talking about a big National Science Foundation research grant in partnership with Case Western, and President Eric Kaler at Case, who is a very dear friend, also came from the University of Minnesota, is a great partner. Now, Case and CSU are very different institutions, and we are both aware of that. And we bring different assets to the table. But because of that, we can create something that's bigger than either one of our institutions could do alone. Now, we also have a new president at Tri-C in Dr. Michael Baston, and I am really enjoying getting to know him. Alex Johnson, the retiring president, is one of those presidents who reached out to me immediately to congratulate me and offer his help. And it was fun to celebrate his retirement and equally fun to see the great leader that Tri-C selected to succeed him. And together, I think we're planning to meet soon, Michael, Eric, and I, to talk about our huge responsibility to steward these institutions that mean so much to Cleveland and to do it in a way that amplifies each other's success. I'm really excited about that, and that's inspiring to me.
Yeah, that is really inspiring. And that's great that all the presidents are going to be in communication and they're not, you know, had an adversarial relationship. They're all working in the same direction.
No, we really like each other, which is pretty fun.
That is great. Dr. Bloomberg, let me ask you about sports for a minute. Sports is a big revenue gainer for universities. And Minnesota had a good football program, a great hockey program. So did St. Cloud State, because I'm a huge hockey fan. But Cleveland State has basketball and swimming, but they don't have football and they don't have baseball. So is sports a priority in any way for you?
Well, yes, absolutely. And I chuckle because when you talk about hockey in St. Cloud, it is very much a hockey town. But I also spent some time at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and you can't be up there without understanding the sport of curling. Oh, and yeah. People think you're crazy if you don't understand curling. So it's, you know, there's a different sports culture on different campuses, and obviously football is not a part of the culture here. Basketball is. I am a huge supporter of our basketball program and our athletics program in general. And partly it's because I'm a sports fan, and largely because I believe it is central to what our role is within the city and what the opportunities are that we create for students to have a full student experience on campus. So being an athlete is a big part of what we offer here, being a student athlete, and I'm very proud of the academic success of our student athletes. Equally important, or even perhaps more so, is being an avid spectator and participant, and creating opportunities to build community because we're together at a sporting event. This afternoon, I'm going to go over and watch our women's basketball team practice as they get ready for the season. And whenever I do that, I was at the men's basketball practice a couple of weeks ago, I'm reminded of what, again, I'm just going to toot our own horn for a moment, what a remarkable job our athletics program does in talking about the roles, responsibilities, and citizenship expectations we have for our student athletes. So I got handwritten notes from student athletes and teams when I was named president. I went to visit the Campus International School, which is a CMSD school, met with fourth graders, and the first thing I heard about was their mentors who are on the basketball team. Like, they really look up to those guys, those women. And I think that is so much a part of having a thriving athletics program on campus. Mm-hmm. I think we would be naive to ignore the problems that we've seen on college campuses as it relates to athletics and misconduct. Let me just use that term.
Or malfeasance would be another word to use.
Right. You're not seeing that here at Cleveland State, and I just have to give a huge shout-out to our athletics director, Scott Garrett, who is a remarkable human being. He's a terrific leader. He's a great athletics director. Most importantly, he is ethical to the core and just a wonderful human being. He's a huge asset to my cabinet, my leadership cabinet, and he has very high expectations for our athletics program. So I love partnering with him.
That's great because, you know, sports has been a big part of my life. I've played baseball, basketball, football, everything. And
So you're really one of those jocks who are all over the place, right?
That's what I grew up with. And radio took over a little bit later in my life. And WCSB, the station on campus, which is really the savior for me, this is such a public asset, this station. And with the university, I really think that this could be the best radio station in the country.
Well, let me help you make it that. Tell me what you need me to do.
Well, we will talk off the air, but as much respect from the administration the WCSB can get. And my show is on Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, and I interview a lot of different dignitaries such as yourself and others. And I like to bring an element of preparedness and love for my guests on my show, and it's important. And there's other shows on this station that do a tremendous job in other genres of music and styles of broadcasting, which makes it so an invaluable tool for the, you know, for the community out there. And just having the respect from the administration and the acknowledgement from yourself and your cabinet, it would mean a whole lot to WCSB.
Well, you have my respect for sure. And let's talk about what we can do to, I'm all about creating sunlight for other people and other initiatives that are also part of the ecosystem. So let's talk about what we can do.
Yeah, I'd love to stop in and meet you in person. It would be wonderful to have that opportunity to do that sometime.
I would welcome that. One of the things that we talk about as a part of CSU 2.0, our strategic plan, is the role of CSU being an anchor and a beacon. And part of, I believe, being an anchor for Cleveland and the region is being a really excellent ally for other anchors, for other institutions. So that's what I think about when we talk about your radio. This radio station is what I think about when I think about Playhouse Square or our public libraries. How can we anchor this community together in a way that makes all of us bigger than we would be alone? And then when we do that, we can become a beacon. We can draw people to this area because we're cooking with gas, because we know how to work together, because we can create this thriving and energetic community.
Yeah, once you're a Viking for life, as we say around here.
And that's right.
Not a golden gopher, but a Viking. So that's kind of cool. How is
we just got to work on getting people to like really know the fight song and the alma mater. That's something that I want to work on. Like, hey folks, we're not singing this enough. And if we don't like it, are we going to redo it? Because if we're going to keep what we've got, let's sing it loud and proud.
That's right. I have the fight song in my on my computer, but I don't remember the alma mater. But it's something that we should all know about. And how's your family adjusting here to Cleveland?
You know, it's we have two adult children. Our daughter and son-in-law and their two little kids are visiting us right now in Cleveland, so that they realize how easy it is to get here from Minneapolis. There's three direct flights a day going both ways. There's no excuse for not getting together on the weekend. So my husband and I moved out here, and we are loving Cleveland. And of course, you think I'm going to say that, but I mean it. When we moved, because we were emerging from the pandemic and there's, you know, growing opportunities for remote work, my husband, he's an attorney, he kept his job in Minneapolis and worked remotely from here. When I was named president, he decided to leave that job and signal to all of our partners and then just to ourselves and our families that we are in Cleveland. And so he just recently went in-house at one of the law firms here. He's an environmental attorney, and we're both settling in quite well. We are coming up on 1 year in the community. First 8 months of my employment here, I was provost. But we will have experienced all the seasons, and we love it.
That's great.
I would say the only thing, bear in mind, our family thinks we moved south to Cleveland. So people talk about the winters here, and I just roll my eyes.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think is going to bring me back to the Northland, probably northern Minnesota, not Minneapolis, once or twice a year is the opportunity to cross-country ski. You can ski around here, but it's hit or miss. So that's the one thing that I'll have to I don't need to go south in the winter. I need to go north in the winter for, like, icicles on your eyelashes. Kind of cool.
Yeah, cross-country skiing is very difficult, but it's a lot of fun. And I prefer skating on a pond. You know, pond hockey was always something I did as a kid. But being out there in the cold, as long as it isn't 20 below, I can handle it.
I'm a winter kind of. Well, I love summer too, but I definitely don't need heat in the winter. I need a cold winter. We're settling in just fine is the short answer, Ray.
That's great. Dr. Bloomberg, I really appreciate your time. And there's one other question that I have. Remote learning, your feelings about, I personally feel that learning face-to-face is the very best way to do it. I understand that there's sometimes that can't happen. But what are your thoughts about remote learning moving forward?
I believe that the option for remote learning is an option that is here to stay. We are launching CSU Online to create opportunities for students who absolutely can't be here on campus for whatever reason or who choose an online degree. That is going to be a part of our future in higher education. That said, I absolutely believe that face-to-face, in-person learning is the best option for many people. And the key, maybe most, the key is to know yourself and for us to help people understand what their options are. I mentioned well-being before, and it will be my inaugural theme for this coming year, living well as we build our future together. Part of that is knowing how to create learning environments where students can not only be successful, but can live well. They can have a great experience, and they can have the learning modality that works best for them. So again, long way of answering it. Online learning or remote learning is a part of our future. It is not exclusive. It will never be an exclusive future for Cleveland State. The majority of our courses will continue to be in person, but it will always be an option.
Dr. Bloomberg, thank you. And as we have continued this conversation, it makes me think that it would be great to have you come into my show, sit on, in the studio and have another segment like this.
I'd welcome that. And I'll do it in person for sure.
That's beautiful. I wish you the very best. Thank you so much for your time. I learned a lot, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the great questions, and I look forward to the conversation part two.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bloomberg.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Laura Bloomberg on the Ray Carr Show here on WCSB Cleveland. Hope you enjoyed the interview. We'll be back with much more.